Hey everybody, Lauren here, and welcome to episode 57 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. I may say this every episode, but I'm so excited for you to hear our interview with Casey Seaton on behalf of the November Project. The November Project is an always free outdoor workout found not only nationwide, but around the world. It's a fantastic movement, and this is a fantastic episode. Casey shares multiple stories on how it's impacted our city and individuals that go. All right, let's get to the show.
Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour with your hosts, Katie Hake and Lauren Wrighton.
Hey, Casey, we are so excited to have you on today's podcast.
Hey, Lauren, Katie, thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it. On behalf of November Project, we appreciate it.
Let's get right into it. So tell us what the November Project is. People who are listening to this episode, it's what, January? So it is not November. Give us kind of the background.
So the name November Project, or the November Project, depending on if you're from Ohio or if you're an Ohio State fan, it's a bit of a quirky, weird name. The basis behind that is the story of how the entire thing started. So it started with a couple of guys who are just ginormous human beings. They were former rowers in college. They started to hit kind of a slump, didn't want to get dad bods. So they challenged each other to a November Project. And the November Project was just a worksheet that they put together, an Excel sheet. And so each day in November, they would commit to working out with the other one. They'd meet somewhere in Boston. This was all happening in Boston. And they completed the November Project. And this was just whenever social media was starting to get really big. They were on kind of the forefront of Facebook, and they were big into Twitter. So they would post their workouts and just say, you know, hey, this is where we're meeting up, not really expecting to get any hits. Obviously, they were wrong in that assumption. And since then, it's grown into Harvard Stadium in Boston and out of Harvard Stadium into 44 different tribes, as we call them, groups around the world. So a lot of people think it's just in the U.S., maybe just in the Midwest, just on the East Coast. It spans the U.S. It's all over Canada. Props to those guys. Iceland is in there. Serbia, one of the guys who started it was Serbian. A few different spots in Europe, even have a couple in Asia, one in Malaysia and one in Hong Kong. So really taking over the free fitness world.
That's awesome. Are workouts always outdoors? Or is so, that, tell us kind of about the the goal or the mission of the November Project.
Yeah, in that long-winded just background I just gave you, it said absolutely nothing about what November Project is. I'm a history buff. I was a history major in undergrad, so you know naturally that's where my mind is inclined to go. As a backup, as a basis, November Project itself is just on the ground floor. It's just free fitness provided to any community, whatever community happens to be in. Our mission, our saying is just show up, which is also a hashtag we use a lot of times. And it kind of mimics Nike's just do it policy, but on a broader scale. It can be applied not just to just showing up to workouts, no matter what the temperature. So you asked about if it's January or if it's November, what are people doing working out in Indianapolis or Canada? Well, they're going outside and they're layering up and they're just showing up. And so the whole point of it is to apply that mentality, not just to working out, but to anything you're doing in life, to kind of create better people out of this movement. And I think it's fair to call it a movement, not just in the physical sense, but in the way that it's taken over and creating communities that weren't there before and connections within cities. So, you know, you take a basic thing like fitness, make it tough, but also scalable so multiple types of people can come. From the lady who doesn't like walking down her driveway all the way up to, you know, the old lady in that case, all the way down, I guess I should say, to, you know, the track athlete that trains every day. It's scalable. It's approachable. It's a community. It's goofy. It's fun.
I love the inclusiveness, how you guys provide it, not to just every fitness level, every age, every... You don't have to have a gym membership. You kind of remove all the excuses.
You do. 100%. 100% that's accurate. It's not something that, when I first started going to it, I was in fairly good shape. I wasn't sure if it was going to be to for lack of a better term, church campy. If it was just going to be kind of like a, you know, people hanging out, giving hugs, stuff like that. But it was that. Not in that exact way. It was that to an extent. But it was also hard as hell. I mean, it was whatever you put into it is what you get out of it. So one example that I like to use is a lady named Anne who was with our tribe for a long time. And Anne would not walk down to get her mail. She absolutely hated it when she first started showing up. She convinced herself to start coming to workouts just kind of on a whim. She promised herself. And at this point, she is running half marathons. She's into training. She's all sorts of stuff. And I don't attribute that just to NP, just the November Project, but I think that the community mindset and the pushing you through it, the accountability system, I guess, is a good way to put it. And you guys, a podcast that you guys had a few months back, Teresa Hazel was somebody that you have spoken with, and she spoke to this a little bit, where sometimes if you're not a runner, if you're not a person who thinks of themselves as an exerciser, having somebody to be relying on you is a good accountability boosting system. And that harks back to the entire basis and history of November Project being two guys just relying on each other to be there, just showing up.
Yeah, I love that, because one of the things that, you know, we see as trainers and we talk about on the podcast all the time is about consistency. Like, if you can be consistent with anything in life, that's how things get done. So if you can make it easier for people to be consistent, then they're going to see results and their lives are going to change. So that accountability and all of that plays into it.
It helps people come on a consistent basis and make it a fun routine that they look forward to whenever they know we'll be there. Casey and Jason, my co-leader, Jason Shaw, that will be there no matter what the weather is, no matter if it's rain, snow, sleet, shine. We've canceled in our 4 years of existence in Indy one time, and that was because there was a citywide shutdown because people couldn't even use the roads. It was the snowpocalypse of a few years back. So, but aside from that, if that happened today, I don't think that we would let it happen. I think we'd find a way to power through or meet somewhere else or remotely or something. We've had people in other cities out in California. They have the fires going on right now. They met in a store one time pretty recently and just Skyped people in if they couldn't make it. So it's a fun community, that's for sure.
That's fantastic.
Well, you clearly got into this. You just showed up and just kept showing up. You're currently the co-leader for the Indianapolis November Project. What's your journey been like with the tribe, and how did you come into this leadership role?
So to answer those in reverse, put a timeline to it. I came into knowing the Indy tribe back when it was more fledgling. It was maybe a half a year old at that time. And in some, it was bad dental work that got me into November Project. I had not gone to the dentist in far too long, and my then girlfriend, now wife, thankfully encouraged me that maybe I should go try out the. I was in law school at the time, here in Indianapolis at IU, and she said maybe you go to the IU dental school. So I did that, affordable rate. Met with some people. You know, I was there for a while, understandably so. And so a couple different ladies in school there were digging in my mouth and were just having a, you know, they had like the grinder in there. So in between breaks, giving their arms a little shakeout, we were able to talk for a while. One of the ladies, we got to talking about fitness, stuff like that. She was at that time co-leader of NP Indy. And so she said, hey, maybe you just, you know, just show up. Come check us out tomorrow. I think it was a Tuesday. I was at the dentist's office. She's like, come check us out tomorrow, 5:30 or 6:15 a.m. at the War Memorial, whatever, you know, you got your options, early or late, earlier or really early, I guess is really how it is. But so I started doing that, showing up on a consistent basis. And about a year, maybe a year and a half into doing that, the lady who started the November Project Indy Tribe, her name is Bobby Werby, fantastic, quirky, fun, perfect person to start this thing off here. She moved out east for school, and so I seemed a natural fit to the other co-leader at the time, Jason Shaw. Him and Bobby talked about it a little bit, met with me. I had been kind of leading from the pack and encouraging people and loved doing it, and I was showing up on a consistent basis, so it made natural sense for me to want to come on and for me to come on, and it's been a lot of fun working with Jason. since, and we've done a lot of fun collaboration in growing the tribe with other organizations, forming friendships and bonds through it for sure.
They're like, he's gonna be here anyways. He might as well lead just the group.
Just give him the reins. Yeah,
he's been asking for it. Just give him the official title.
That is how actually a lot of like my instructors that I train become instructors and leaders, is that they just kind of fall into it. Someone appoints them, or it's kind of, well, if you don't do it, this goes away kind of thing. So I love that you just, okay.
Yeah. And it's been, personally, it's been a great growth opportunity. Jason has been a great mentor to me, which is pretty cool to have a leader, co-leader, same level, but also learning from. We're totally different types of people. So it's fun to bounce ideas off each other. We get along well because of our personalities. So it's been neat in that regard, and I think it's helped the tribe grow and feel more comfortable at the same time.
Yeah, so you've talked a lot about the tribe. What is the vibe of the Indie Tribe?
Like, what's the vibe of the tribe? Tribe vibe. The tribe vibe is the tribe vibe at 5:30. It is a little 5:30 is a little more subdued, understandably so.
Mm-hmm.
6:15 is kind of the, and it's also our chance to kind of shake out any quirks with reps or anything like that that we find whenever we were planning this.
Yeah,
the workout each week or multiple times each week, but 6:15 is really our big go to on Wednesdays. It seems like we get about 10 more people that time, so people seem to favor it. I guess the chance of light actually being. If the sun actually being up at that point is slightly greater, I guess. So yeah. People are inclined to go to it. But it's a fun group. It's one of these groups where you've got a very dynamic spectrum of people, from Special Olympics athletes that are absolutely stellar and are role models for the rest of us, to, like I said, people like Anne, people like Teresa, to people, your drinking buddies, your study buddies, you name it, we've got it. And the thing that we always say is, with the NP Indy tribe, it's a little different than other tribes in that Indianapolis itself as a city always seems to be one that allows for accessibility, especially if you're a young professional trying to come up in the city. People are pretty accessible compared to a lot of other places. And NP Indy kind of epitomizes that and makes it even more accessible. We always say we're about one person removed from anyone in the city, which has really shown to be accurate so far. So that's a pretty cool aspect.
So would you say that the biggest way that you guys have grown was through word of mouth?
Oh, for sure. Word of mouth. You'll get people like a guy named Tom Hale, who is a 50-something triathlete. That's the youngest middle-aged man I've ever met in my life. Just a great personality, great attitude. And recruits like no other. Just, you get somebody with an infectious personality and attitude like that, it just really grows it. But we try to use FOMO, fear of missing out, through social media as much as possible to our advantage. Sometimes as goofy as we get, it backfires a little bit, but you know, that falls in our lap. But it's so far been pretty good in that regard. Word of mouth is our go-to, but you know, any means possible. We've had a few news coverages, which is pretty cool.
The FOMO is real, because when I first moved here, I stalked your guys' Instagram, and I couldn't make it because I, like I said, I live downtown but work in Carmel, so the timing's kind of funky, but I'm determined to make it to one. But I find myself telling people, oh my gosh, they did this Backstreet Boy workout. Who's gone? I'm like asking all these people, and I'm just some rando who found you on Instagram. So tell us more about the different themes and... Because you guys have a totally unique spin on the workouts and fun factor.
So, Will, this is kind of NP greater tribe-wide, that you'll start a workout with a hype up, essentially, a bounce. And so it's just a goofy kind of get people awake, shake them out a little bit, say some goofy words. For instance, like around Thanksgiving, people will have them dress up in different ways. Back to the bounce, we'll do Gobble Baby to the replaced lyrics of Wobble, the Wobble Baby song. So that's always a fun one. That's one of Shaw's go-tos. But like on Halloween, we'll do a pumpkin workout. I think that's the only one we're actually asking anybody to bring anything, do kind of pumpkin weight-bearing workouts. Mm-hmm. We've dressed up. We've had a lumberjack workout, I think, was mentioned recently to you guys also. You name it. I mean, check out the pictures. There's tons of stuff in there. Sometimes it's just random costumes that we have on. I wore a life jacket and old fisherman's hat, kind of looked like Wilson off of Home Improvement to one workout just because it was raining. You know, whatever comes to mind and maybe wakes people up or gets them to laugh, we're all about it.
So sometimes it's just like on a whim costumes, and sometimes they're planned.
Yeah, usually we'll give it an announcement. We'll announce it about a week ahead of time so people know. You know, we'll get some people that go all out, some people that don't participate, and then you'll get the in-betweeners. But, yeah, and then every once in a while we'll just randomly do something.
That's so fun. Yeah.
500 weekend's always a fun one to dress up for around here, too.
Oh, yeah. People get really into that, I mean, oh, yeah. In general.
I mean, who doesn't want an excuse to wear their jorts?
Especially to work out in, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, the chafing. Ow. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the beauty of the less than 30-minute workout.
You mentioned that we talked to Teresa. One of the things that she really was talking about when it comes to the November Project is that she said she didn't like to lift weights and that you guys were the only way that she was going to do any sort of strength training. But I'm most interested in, like, if you've heard feedback on how you get people to come work out outside in the winter. What's the secret?
I think the only secret is to make them want to come to it in terms of it's the fear of missing out thing. I mean, you put up awesome pictures showing people having a lot of fun. They know that it was a choice they could have made to just not hit snooze and come to that, participate in it. They're going to feel a little bit drowsier, lousier that the rest of that day. I mean, 2:30 comes around, they might feel better, but until that point, we've got the upper hand, I think. And so, I mean, for instance, personally, on a Wednesday, if I wouldn't go to NP, I mean, that's not going to happen because we're always there. But if I weren't to go to NP, I wouldn't feel as engaged, as present, or as energized that day. So I think it's just the getting the routine of people coming. That helps a ton. It's the accountability buddy system, like I mentioned earlier, that really works, where people expect to see you there, especially if you bring friends and kind of grow it and make your own mini tribe within the tribe. They expect you to be there. People notice that. People hope for you to be there. People want to give you a hug in the morning, which is pretty cool and unique. It's like an adult playground, but with the same tough workout that you get at any training, any gym.
Man, I'm like all jazzed up about this.
I'm having so much FOMO right now. Like,
Ride it into the next workout.
We have to teach tomorrow. We might just have to bring our class downtown. Exactly. Say sorry, everyone. Get in the car. Happening. We're going on a field trip.
It's happened before. We broke our own rule and had an indoor workout once, and that was in November, playing on the fact that it was brought to our attention by a close NP friend and stalwart, awesome, fast guy named Blake Roebuck that comes to our workouts. Blake brought it to our attention. A lot of people think that it's just in November. So he was like, hey, why don't we just use that to our advantage and just have a kick-ass November that essentially acts as a recruiting tool for everybody and then say, oh, by the way, this will go through December. Oh, by the way, into January, and keep it going from there. So we had an indoor workout on the floor of Bankers Life where the Pacers play, which was just awesome. And we did another one at the Indian Stadium, which was a lot chillier, and it kept our outdoor theme. But we're still trying to work on Lucas Oil and the IMA, but I think we'll get it one day.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome. I mean, yeah, Banker's Life, that's sick.
The lack of any payment exchanged whatsoever to us or by people to come to the workouts really encourages places like that to kind of open their arms a little bit more than they might for someone else. And the fact that we had somebody that comes to our workouts that worked there, that might have helped too.
Maybe a little bit of an in.
Maybe.
So one of the ways that I first heard about the November Project was from doing a community event at the gym that I teach at. So I was curious about other things like charity stuff that you guys might do or other like community involvement that you guys do outside of just your normally scheduled workouts.
Yeah. So you had mentioned early on that Special Olympics and the gym that you were at was one way that you kind of first got wind of November Project. And our relationship with Special Olympics Indiana, especially here in Indianapolis, has been has been awesome. It's been tremendous. It's been growing each month. So one of our star, really fast guys that comes all the time, that's a terrific role model, his name is Andrew Peterson. Andrew is a Special Olympics athlete. He was born with fetal alcohol syndrome. His dad drops him off. Every once in a while, one of his other brothers, also having fetal alcohol syndrome, will get dropped off and come to the workouts too, which is very cool. We try to encourage them to come more often. Andrew was recently covered in the news and was recently running in the Indy Monumental Marathon, and he's been training to try to qualify for Boston. He's trying to BQ, Boston qualify. And he's trained in, I think, 5 different marathons, and one of the more recent ones, he was about 18 seconds short of the mark he needed to qualify in the normal way. He passed up getting any sort of special waiver for Special Olympics athletes. Any athletes with disabilities said, no, I want to do it outright, which is commendable in itself just for trying that. And the time that he was 18 seconds short, he also got lost on the course, which is just unbelievable. I mean, he's running extra and just barely not making the time. So it was clear he needed just kind of an external brain there to guide him, because he's an incredibly fit person. He's probably the fastest one. He's easily the fastest one on our workouts, but he needs some guidance just to get him moving along the way. He ended up qualifying for Boston by 8 minutes through our help. I feel like I'm bragging a bit, but I'm proud to say that it was through kind of our networking of reaching out to other leaders. So Jason reached out to our Facebook leader post that we have for the 44 different tribes, said, hey, we've got a guy who needs a pacer for this workout. His pacer dropped out. Can anybody help out? Somebody from the Madison tribe, his name is Justin, he came down here. It was actually his first marathon too. He's a 50K mountain race runner. And so it was a little bit different for him, but I'm sure it wasn't the hardest thing in the world for him.
Yeah.
But just absolutely, absolutely stellar individual coming down here to Indianapolis and doing that, pacing Andrew. And now he's going to be running in Boston next year, which is very good.
That's amazing.
We've hung out with Special Olympic athletes at a number of different other races that they put on, and a bunch of other events that they do as well, which has been a lot of fun. But little success stories, or enormous success stories, I guess is really the way to put it, like that are something that keeps us coming back, keeps other people coming back, makes it unique.
I just have to say as well, I am so impressed at how many just names you're spitting out, because I think that speaks volumes to the community and, like you said, the tribe and really the relationships that you've created, that you're just able to spit out people's names. I mean, that you go into a gym, like a group fitness setting, and sometimes you don't always even see that. And those people are paying to go there, you know, and
right.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
The term community gets thrown around a lot nowadays. It's a very in corporate thing to put on things, which is good. I mean, it shows that people are focused on that. But a lot of times it doesn't mean anything beyond just the title of someone's job. To really reach out and know somebody personally really makes it more of an actual community.
Yeah. Plus, on a psychological level, we love to hear our own names. So I know that as a fitness instructor, in the middle of class, if you can say the person's name, you know, a couple different times, like, we just love hearing our own name. It's very motivating, and we do feel way more part of a community if someone simply says your first name, which it sounds so easy, but it's powerful.
Oh, yeah, Lauren, Katie, I completely understand.
There you go, Casey.
Casey, so you told us this story about Andrew, which is freaking awesome, but can you think of something that's happened recently at a workout? Let's pick the best thing that's happened recently because of a November Project workout.
So every single workout we have, something awesome happens. And that just goes back to the basis of what I've been saying this whole time, which is just people coming out, supporting each other, working out, building community. One way that's in addition, I mean, a lot of ways that's manifested itself. But one other one that comes to mind, there's a guy named Timmy Howard that comes to our workouts. And Timmy hasn't been coming for an incredibly long time, but he's been incredibly devoted to the workouts in the amount of time that he's been coming. Not just to the workouts, but to the November Project movement as a whole, especially as it relates to Indianapolis. So Timmy's okay with me telling this story, I know for a fact, because he wrote a blog for us, which is another way that we'll kind of build community in the virtual world and hopefully add some FOMO while we're doing it as well. He wrote a blog for us on this same story, but Tim was for, I think, 10 years, addicted to heroin. And so this is incredibly relevant right now with what's going on nationwide. People have been talking about how it hits home. It's in your backyard. It's in your front yard. It's, you know, people in your family. It's true. I mean, we've got an example right here. And so Tim, back in, I think, early June, some friend of his reached out, just saw that he was in dire straits, wasn't looking good at all, knew something was amiss, knew what he was up to, knew that he was homeless because of his heroin addiction. So coming to today, fast forwarding, I'll drive around with Tim, or somebody else will be walking around with Tim, and he'll point out different spots in the city, different bridges that he's spent nights under or weeks under, which is just mind-boggling to me, having always had a home to come home to. But through running, harping back to what a lot of people in different episodes that you guys have had on here have said, through running and being able to have something that holds you accountable but is also improving you, the mental and the physical working together to improve each other, to work in unison, that's what got Tim out of this. So he was in this halfway house. He was starting to get clean, starting to get jobs, starting to get taken care of by people that cared. He got reached out to by an organization called Back on My Feet. It's a nationwide organization, and it's absolutely fantastic. There's a couple branches here in Indy, and what they do is they volunteer to run with homeless folks and try to actually push them forward, move them forward by running forward. So it's a kind of a metaphor that is practiced in real life. And Tim started going to Back of My Feet, and we did a joint workout with them one time, and he heard about us. He was like, oh, what's November Project? What's all this about? Came the very next workout, and I don't think he's missed one since. In fact, he's doubled on a lot of our Wednesdays. So we meet Wednesdays and Fridays, and he's doubled on our Wednesday workouts, which is just commendable in itself. So Tim has been a very influential person, and it's amazing to have known him without his backstory first. As unjudgmental as I try to be and as people try to be, I know that that's going to be a blocker in my mind or send up red flags. So that's something that I personally learned to work on. But I'm glad to have known him as a fitness person and then learned his backstory and learned how impactful fitness can be. And it's things like that that keep me coming back to this workout world beyond just staying fit.
It's amazing the types of people and, like you said, different walks of life and reasons. I think people's whys for showing up, how fitness can bring people together. It's insane.
Yeah. One of our core guys, actually, he just moved down to South Carolina. His name's Howard Monroe. He said that exact same thing pretty recently, that everybody's got a backstory, and it's 100% true.
Yeah. And just going back to what you said about community and how every office and every fitness place is trying to build community, but a lot of times we do just look at somebody and make an assumption on, oh, they're probably just like other people that I know, when really you don't know what they've gone through and what they had to get through to get to the workout or whatever. So you have to ask people questions and get to know them to really find out what their backstory is. But that is amazing.
I mean, we've got people that'll come from their night shift and just show up immediately after that, which is just, it's unbelievable in itself. But yeah, at the same time, I mean, it's awesome to learn these backstories, but I would never want to pry it out of somebody. And I also like that we're an option available no matter your backstory. If you don't want to share it, that's fine. If you do want to share it, that's fine. We're not forcing anything out of you. We're going to be here whether you show up or not. We hope you will.
Yeah. The way that I see fitness too is, if you're having a really crappy day, you can show up and leave that at the door. And yeah, no one's going to ask you a million questions about it, but you also do, if you trust the people, and after you've gone a couple times or whatnot, you can talk to people about what's going on in your life, but you also can just work out and get lost in the hour and that's it.
Right. And sometimes, I mean, it even is beneficial at times to carry that baggage with you and kind of lose it throughout your workout. So there's all sorts of ways of looking at that.
Yeah, love that.
Love that so much. Casey, thank you so much for being on our episode today. These stories, I think our listeners are going to be motivated, number one. They're having FOMO just listening. I know everyone's planning to come to the workout if they're in Indianapolis. How can people, for our listeners across the country, across the world, you know, how can they get involved with the November Project, whether it's starting or joining one in their area?
Just show up. I mean, put bluntly, just show up. But to do that, it's nice to know where to show up and when and all that sort of stuff. So in Indianapolis, we meet on Wednesdays at 5:30 and 6:15. We pick those times, just put it plainly, because then you don't have to pay parking. We meet at the Indiana War Memorial, smack dab downtown. It's an awesome view, an awesome workout spot, a humbling spot. So we meet there 5:30, 6:15 on Wednesdays, no matter what. And on Fridays, we kind of rove around the city, explore the city, explore the parks, explore what's out there and can be used as a workout playground. And we meet at 6 on Fridays, and we always post our Friday and our Wednesday workouts the day before on our Facebook, and we give a little notification on our Instagram. Our Facebook is at Nov Project Indy, N-O-V Project I-N-D-Y, all one word. And our Instagram is at November Project IND. So we can be reached by either of those. You can Google November Project, and there's a webpage that'll lead you to all the tribes. You can Google it just for us. There's plenty of connectivity out there. If you're confused about any of it, send Jason Shaw or Casey Seaton a Facebook message or an Instagram shout out. We'll help you out there too.
Awesome.
But don't be confused. Just show up. I think that's
just show up.
I think that's the takeaway message for today is just show up.
And you sent me a bunch of photos that I'll post some of them on Instagram so people can really feel that FOMO.
Fantastic. And link us with you. We'd love to stay in touch.
Yes, excellent. Well, thank you so much again. And to all of our listeners, look the November Project up, check it out. It's obviously, you know, an incredible movement. We can just tell by the way that, you know, the energy that you have around it. So I'm excited to hear what people think about the episode and about the November Project.
Lauren, Katie, thanks so much for having me on here. I appreciate it. Appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah, great to meet you, and have a great night.
You too.